Well, as I mentioned, it is good to be in church. We're thankful to have you here, and I knew it was going to be a good day. I saw somebody, I think Russ was dropping his family off about a 65 Chevrolet truck out there. Looked like it was just going to get better and better. You already had the Word of God, had the church building heated or cooled, whatever it always needs, and somebody comes in an old Chevrolet pickup truck. It doesn't get any better than that. If somebody has apple pie after church today, your day is going to be complete. You are set. And, you know, I was getting ready last night. I was getting some things set up, and our life has changed a lot, you know. I got some shoes the other day, not these ones, but I had Allie, our third, our 15-year-old, and she had her look those shoes over, say, you think those will work for us? And she okayed on that. You know, you kind of change gears a little bit. You know, you got to make sure it's all fit with your kids after they get a certain age. And these are the ones that used to have to dress, or they'd come around half naked, but now they want to give you advice. And the redhead, she's the one that cuts my hair, and so she takes care of that. And then Jared, our firstborn, I had to go down to his room, and I went shopping in his sock drawer. And I've had these socks in my drawer that I didn't have no mates for months, and finally found out why. He's got the other one. And so I've got a haircut from the redhead, need to get another one, but Allie, she's taking care of my wardrobe, and then I'm going shopping at my son's drawers, his sock drawer. So life is a tough bill around our house, so you pray for us. Pray that we can make it, and I'm just waiting for him to come have that talk. Well, now, Dad, it's time for you to move on out and move to one of those homes where they always come take care of you. So, you know, code words. I'm watching for it. I'm waiting, so. Well, it's good to see you in church this morning, and I hope that whatever's been going on in life, I hope that you remember, and all of us do, that the Lord, He is good. Amen. And He has blessed us more than we could ever take time to tell today. You say, Pastor, my week has been horrible, but you made it through. And if you're a child of God, if you're saved in here this morning, He has walked with you, He has strengthened you, He has helped you. You have made it through. One preacher asked some lady, said, how you doing? And she said, I'm not doing too good under the circumstances. And he said, why? If you're saved, a child of God, why are you living under the circumstances? God has empowered you to live above those. You may have to go through some stuff, but God will empower you, help you, and strengthen you. And I hope that you've sensed that this week. And if you haven't, I trust that you'll be with spiritual eyes looking for it this week. And I want to preach for a little while about sort of that similar theme about beaten down, but not beaten, beaten up rather, but not beat down. And I trust that the Lord will help us. And so I want to give you some help, I believe, from the Word of God, because here's what I fear. Christian folks that get in tune with the Lord and things seem to be going great. Their life is clicking along. Seems like things are meshing like they're supposed to be. Things are going as you want them to be, and you're blessed. But then trouble comes. You know who trouble comes to? Us humans. Bible says rains on the just and the unjust. That means the ones that are living right, the ones that aren't living right, the ones that are doing good, the ones that aren't doing good. Rains on the just and the unjust. So that person that's doing good and things seem to be clicking in their life and they're meshing and they're going forward and say, well, God's good and we're moving forward and making progress. And then trouble comes. And then maybe in a bad season or whatever it is, more trouble comes. And then they just throw up their hands and say, forget it. I was doing good. I was trying to do right. I was trying to walk correctly. I was trying to be a good husband. I was trying to be a good neighbor. I was trying to be a great employee. I was trying to do this, and I thought I was doing right. I was trying to read my Bible. I was going to church and doing all these things, and boom, it all blew up. I want to preach for a little bit about that, because good living doesn't mean that bad things won't happen to you. Good living sometimes brings some bad things to you. You've been underhanded doing something at your job. Now you decide, I'm going to get right. I'm going to have to go fess up to some people. I'm going to make a great decision. Guess what? You might not get rewarded. You might get fired. But still right to do right. But it takes a seasoned individual, it takes a mature Christian, takes somebody who's willing to take some hits to get to that point where they see it pays to do right, even if paying or doing right hurts me right now. I'll preach about that for a little while. I trust it's a blessing. But again, as I already mentioned, I know I'm just getting you warmed up, you know. Like one old preacher, he said, boy, when I first got up here, I felt like I had butterflies in my stomach. I was all nervous. He says, now they're starting to fly in formation. I'm hoping they'll fly in formation for long. And I just get myself warmed up, the crowd, and the crowd warmed up for me, because I'm excited for you to be in church. And as I look out, I realize that any old Sunday could be the last one we get to have. And I'm not morbid, I don't think I am, but I want to enjoy, I want to squeeze all the juice out of things I can. Amen. I want to challenge you all to do that for Christmas this year. You never know when the last Christmas you'll celebrate with somebody will be that one. You ought to enjoy it. You ought to take all that God gives you and soak it all in. No matter whether you're 18, 17, or 78, or 81, it matter. Might be the last one. We ought to take it all in. And I trust that God allows us to do that to this very service as well. Take it all in. So open your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter number 16. Acts 16, we're going to look at a verse here. We'll read one verse as our springboard, but then we'll go to the verses before and prior, so we'll make all of our message out of Acts chapter 16 there. Heard this story while you're finding your place in Acts 16. About these three older ladies, they were over at one of their houses. They were all having coffee, tea, or cookies, or whatever. They were just talking back and forth. And one lady said, well, we're getting older, all of us. And she said, I have to be careful. I catch myself sometimes. I have a jar of mayonnaise or something out in front of the refrigerator. I can't remember if I'm putting it back or I'm getting it out. And I got to stand there and think, okay, am I making a sandwich or am I putting all these things back out? And she said, well, that's no problem there. She said, I was walking up the steps the other day and I stopped because I got out of breath. I couldn't remember if I was walking up or walking down. I had to remember, was I going upstairs or I come back down to the recliner? And that other one, she was kind of perturbed at all, though. She said, boy, oh boy, I'm glad I'm not like that. My mind's good, my body's good, and I can think through and remember things. Knock on wood. She said, wait, who was that? Was that somebody at the front door or at the back door? So be careful. Let him that think he stand to take heed, I guess. So. Beaten up, but not beaten down. I read a story years ago about in 1987, there was a little commuter flight. It was going from Portland to Boston. And the pilot, Harry Henry, he had known something was wrong in the back. He had seen some gauges and some things or some lights was indicating that something was awry. And so he turned over to his co-pilot, small plane, commuter flight, back and forth, turned over to his co-pilot, and he was going back. And so when he got back there, he saw what was wrong. The door wasn't latched all the way. But about that time, they hit an air pocket, and it threw him up against the door. This is a true story. It's sad that the preacher has to say that, but true story. Threw him up against the door, and the door opened. And he was, again, not a jet up in the air, just commercial, little commuter, rather. And he was half in, half out. Now, the co-pilot couldn't see, of course, but he could tell because now the warning lights were flashing and everything. And so he assumed that the pilot, Henry, had been sent out. And so he radioed ahead to get an emergency landing as close as he could and asked for them to start looking through with helicopters for the pilot who he assumed had been ejected. Landed that plane at the next little airport, and amazingly enough, Henry had fallen half out of that door with the little part open, but he had held on. And they said that as he landed, he must have been about 12 inches. His head would have had to have been about 12 inches from the runway as he landed. They said as they came back there, of course, they called off the search for the pilot because he wasn't in the ocean anymore, or wasn't there like they thought. But it took him several minutes just to pry his fingers off of what he had been holding. And miraculously, Henry survived that. And you know, I think that sometimes he just did it by holding on. And I think that sometimes the Christian life, or just the life in general, sometimes I think you feel the only way you're going to survive is to hold on. I haven't seen it for a good while, but I used to see a little stick drawing of some large crane-like bird that he had apparently eaten a frog, but the frog had one of his front little arms, legs, whatever he's got, I don't know, I guess front little legs out. And he had that that big crane-like bird by the throat. And the caption was, "Don't ever give up." He was reaching out and grabbing him. He was going to hop back out of there. Sometimes I feel like spiritually we need to hold on. Don't give up. Victory may be just around the corner. I want you to look, if you will, in Acts chapter 16, verse number 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loose. We know this story as well as we know any Bible story, most of you. And we think it's a wonderful story. These guys are in prison. It's amazing how we think that's wonderful. These guys are in prison. And boy, they're singing at songs at midnight. And at midnight, they have the prison bars open, and you remember the rest of the story. They don't go anywhere, and the jailer comes in, and he's going to commit suicide, and he's just going to end his life because he figured it's going to be ended at the lives of his superiors. But they're not anywhere, and he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" In that verse later. But we understand the story, and we always think it's a wonderful story that others do right in adverse circumstances. But sometimes I want to excuse myself from doing right. Now, I have to be honest with you. If the prison bars had opened and I'd been on the inside, I'd have probably been out like a shot. Thought, "Well, God, you delivered me again. I'm out of here." But they didn't. I would have been wrong, but they were right. But my point in saying this, bringing us this story, is that I want to show you why they were even in there. I want you to see that they were, number one, doing right. Look back in verse number 16 in the same chapter. Verse number 16, "It came to pass, as he went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men were the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." That's the story here. Paul, Silas, they're having this prayer meeting. That's what it says in the beginning of verse number 16. "It came to pass as we went to prayer." How many of us understand we don't have to be a very good Christian to realize going to prayer meeting is a pretty good thing? You can be a rotten fella and make it a prayer. You may get your heart struck by God and do something right after a while. It's a good thing that they're doing. They're on the right track. They are doing what they're supposed to do. They are involved and engaged in what God wants them to do. They were doing right. These servants were having a prayer meeting. I think about our nation that we're blessed to live in. The founding fathers of our nation, they did right, not because it was so advantageous for them, because they wouldn't get to enjoy the full blessings of what they birthed out of this, or as God birthed the nation out, but they did right. As I was reading again in preparation for this message, that George Washington, by some in his army, had wanted to issue him the crown. Now, they really didn't have the right or the authority to do that, but many of the people who fought in that army, in that first Revolutionary War and the Continental Army, the Continental Congress, as they were fighting and they were bringing to forth what would be America, many of them weren't so against the king, and so some wanted to offer Washington the kingship. But he was appalled. He said, "We didn't fight. We didn't do all this to repeat what we'd already got away from. We came to this land, our forefathers, we came and we want fighting to this for this land to be better." They did what was right, not because it advantaged them, but they did what was right because it was right. And they got a lot of heat or a lot of flack for it. But here we see that the disciple, or the preachers here, the Apostle Paul, they were doing right. But how do they see? How do they get treated for it? Look in verse number 22. Not only do we see they were doing right, but they were mistreated for it. The Bible says in verse 22, "And the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates rent their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely." You say, "That's not fair." You're right. Here we've got the preachers doing right, yet they're beaten for it. And they're clothes stripped off and they're beaten. And then after they're beaten bloody, then they're put in the prison cell. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, I've got you there. The Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It does, but if you're demanding that sowing or that reaping rather will happen immediately. A lot of times bad things happen to good people, but later God will have the full reward to those people. Here's what one old preacher put it like this: the wheels of justice, of God's justice, turn slow. They turn sure, but they turn slow. Another old preacher put it like this: back when most people got paid on every week of their, which we don't much anymore, many people don't anymore, but when most people got paid on every Friday, he said it like this: God doesn't always pay on Fridays. You and I might even be engaged in something that's not wrong, or that is wrong rather, and we look around and say, well, I got away with it. We don't get away with anything. How many of you had a mom and a dad that they pretty well figured out most of the things you did wrong? My pastor, Amy's brother, she's got three much older brothers than her. And my father-in-law had about a 70, 71 Chevelle one time. And those boys would love to drive it. It had a 350 in it. It was pretty hopped up. And so they would drive it. And my father-in-law would always know. So, oh, he's hot rodding the car, were you? And I was like, how'd you know that? And he had some things laid in the trunk, toolboxes and different things. And he'd know when he got in that trunk, if everything was all messed up and in disarray, that those boys had been spinning sideways in this car. Now, your dad might not catch everything, but our Lord sees it all. And I say that not to scare you. I say that many times and because God will reward us for things. You think we've got to get caught doing everything is good? God knows what we're doing, but here we see that these folks, although we're doing right, they were in a prayer meeting, they were casting out demons out of this poor young lady, they were doing the right things, they were doing God's will, and what'd they do? They got beat for it. But I want you to look at this, not only were they doing right and they got criticized or got mistreated for it, but they also sang, as our text verse says, instead of complaining, and at midnight. It was midnight not only when the clock showed it was midnight, but it was also midnight in their lives. It was midnight not only because of the time of day, but it was midnight also in their great distress that they were having. It was midnight not just because the arms of a clock, if we had a modern one, were lined up, but it was also midnight because it was dark on these boys. It was dark on their lives. Here they were doing right. Here they were preaching the word of God. Here they were casting out devils. Here they were trying to live right. If it were today's vernacular, here they were paying their bills. Here they were keeping on going to work. Here they were being faithful to their family. Here they were going to church. Here they were doing all these things. And even though they were doing right, then they still got beat and bloodied and cast into prison. And then at that darkest night of midnight, they sang praises. Amazing. I want to ask how your song singing's going. How's your song service going in your life? You say, Pastor, you don't know what's going on, and I certainly don't. You don't know how deep it is right now, and I don't. I'll pray for you. You say, you don't know how deep and dark and how much of a midnight time I'm at. My friend, that's when God wants to give you a song in the night, because he says in the scriptures, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. You may be in a midnight time right now. But my friend, God will give you a song in the night. You may not understand how. You may be thinking, Preacher, I don't even have enough breath to sing, and I don't have the joy of the Lord in my heart. But my friend, you ask for faith from God Almighty to give you the strength and the ability to pray, sing songs at midnight. Would you write something down if you're prone to take little notes, and maybe you want to write in your Bible like I did? Here's this phrase. I've given it to different people, many people over the years. And it wasn't original with me. Somewhere I got it, but I wrote it in my Bible. Complainers complain no matter how good it is. Worshippers worship no matter how bad it is. Can I give it to you again? Because it's changed my life. Complainers complain no matter how bad it is. Worshippers. Worship. Or that I said the wrong. Complainers complain no matter how good it is. Worshippers worship no matter how bad it is. You can sing it midnight when everyone has betrayed you, because there's one that sticketh closer than a brother. There's one that has never left you nor forsook you. There's one that has walked with you, yea, though you were walking through the valley of the shadow of death. There is one that has stuck closer to you than a brother. There is one that has never left you alone one solitary moment. There is one that you are protected in the hand of the one. There is one that will never let you be lonely. If only you would look around spiritually and look and see that God is with you. My friend, they sang instead of complain. And my friend, we need to get a good old dose of that, because there's no way that I can pave the way for you, nor you can't pave the way for me, that everything be smooth. You know, one of the follies that we have in modern parenting is that parents want to make everything smooth for their children. It's an amazing thing. They want to make everything smooth for their children, but there is going to be a time when they can't pave the way any longer. You know the stories just as well as I have, that we've got little league programs that a friend of mine went, and he said, "Well, what's the score?" to a little soccer game. And they said, "Oh, we don't keep score, because that hurts their heart or hurts something." He said, "Well, I'll tell you what hurts me. I want to see if my grandson can win or not." And we have parents that try to pave the way to make, and all of us take care of our kids, please, that's normal. But there's some heartache, there's some heartbreak, there's some life lessons that are just going to have to be learned, because they're going to have to know how to deal with adversity, because life is going to be full of it. And here these men of God, they knew what adversity was. And they sang at midnight instead of complaining about the predicament that they found themselves in. Let me give you this last one. If you still have your Bible open, look at verse number 30. We already alluded to it. This is when the jailer came and he was shocked. He was going to fall on his own sword, end his life, because he figured he might as well do it instead of his superiors ending his life. Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, we're all here," verse 28 and verse number 30, and brought them out and said, the jailer brings them out, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Not only did they sing instead of complain, but they got to see God work. Now, God doesn't always bring a victory around that close to the turmoil, but he did here for our admonition. It may be not days or hours, rather, but it may be days. It may not be days, it may be weeks. It may be weeks, it might not be weeks. It might be months. It may not be months, it may be years. But I can tell you this, that God will bring the situation back around to glorify himself. I said, first of all, they were doing right. They were mistreated for it, but they sang instead of complain. But then at the conclusion of the story, they got to see God work. I wonder what great work of God I missed because I was complaining instead of singing. I wonder what God would have shown me if I'd have just prayed and sang his praises instead of bellyaching and complaining and telling how it wasn't fair. We complain an awful lot. We seems like we find all kinds of things to complain about. You heard about that man that hollered down to his mom and said, "I want to go to church today." She said, "You got to go to church today. Son, you're supposed to go to church." "I don't want to go to church. Give me two reasons." He said, "Well, it's the right thing and it honors God." And said, "Okay, what's another one?" "You're the pastor." We complain about anything. Coming to an air-conditioned building or a heated building, whichever time of year it calls for. We complain about, well, I wish I had this or wish I had that. Our job will complain. Our house will complain. Family will complain. I'm just saying, that's our nature, our sin nature, but our nature. But here we have some men of God going to a prayer meeting, casting devils out of someone, and in their reward, what do they get? They don't get a love offering. They don't get an honorarium. They don't get a standing ovation. They get their clothes ripped off, beat, bloody, and then after that, thrown in jail. But oh yeah, at the end of the story, they did get to see God do a miraculous work. I told you, sometimes I wonder what I've missed, what blessings I've missed, because I was too busy complaining instead of worshiping. I could put it this way. I wonder what great work I'm going to see God do if going forward I'll sing in the dark midnight hour instead of complain. I can't do anything about back there, but I can do something about going forward. What great work am I going to see if I would just realize that I can sing in the midnight hour. I can sing in the darkness. I can pray. I can ask God for strength. I can look for His goodness. Paul was beaten up, but he wasn't beaten down. Silas, he determined to worship God no matter how bad it got. They started off doing right, but when it got bad, they just doubled down and kept on doing right. And because of faithfulness, God used them. You think that jailer, when he sprung in there, as the Bible calls it, sprung in there, you think he wasn't remembering? These are the yahoos that were singing in here. Oh, I've heard a lot of cussing. I've heard a lot of bemoaning. Heard a lot of people say it wasn't me. I've heard a lot of people say that I don't deserve to be in here. I've been cursed and cussed and discussed, and I've been yelled at, and I've been poked and prodded. I can't get close to those soldiers or to those prisoners. But maybe that guard that night would have said, "I've never heard anybody singing for happiness while they've been in the jail cell. I've never heard anybody have a little prayer meeting in there. These guys aren't mad. These guys are happy. These guys aren't depressed. These guys aren't upset at me. These guys aren't yelling out threatenings to me. They're going to kill you." Instead, they say, "Don't do yourself any harm." Can I just interject something right here? If you or I had been in the jail cell and we didn't like that jailer nor the people that sent us to the jailer, if we'd have seen him ready to fall on his sword, he said, "Well, serves him right. God's justice is rolling him through." But Paul and Silas says, "Do thyself no harm." And because of their testimony, through the midnight hour, God saved the jailer and his house. He got to see God do a great work. My friend, I don't know what you've been going through. I don't know what's been happening to you. But you, like me, like Paul, like anybody else in this room, we can get beaten up. We can't keep that from happening. But we don't have to be beat down. Through the darkest hour of our midnight and the heaviest load that we're carrying, we can still say, "Praise the Lord." I leave you with that phrase that I already gave you, and that is this: complainers complain no matter how good it is. But worshipers worship no matter how bad it is. I'm not worshiping God for all the stuff He sent me, although we should. I'm worshiping God because He's good all the way through whatever junk comes my way. I may still be cleaning up sins from my past. I may still be dealing with relationships that I was so foolish to get involved with. I may be still cleaning up financial ruin that I created for myself decades ago, but God's still good. God was good when I was making unwise decisions. God's still good now. God was good when I was making foolish alliances with somebody that I shouldn't have. God's still good now. So I can worship Him even if I've been free and clear of all those things for years, but I'm still paying the price. I ought to worship God. I'm beaten up sometimes, but and they literally were, but I don't have to be beat down. My friend, as we enter into this Christmas season, you will be able to be around some of your friends, some of your family members, and the best thing that you can do, because they know what you're going through, the best thing that you can do is not discuss and put down and be depressed about all that's happening to you. You ought to quickly get on, get off the subject. You say, well, how is that bad thing happening in your life? Say, well, it is true. Yes, I'm facing a lot, but God's greater than all my problems. You've got the greatest opportunity to be a witness and a testimony coming up right now in the next month than we do all year long. Because oftentimes we're around family members that we're not around except at Christmas time. And you've got the opportunity when they say, boy, I heard you lost that job. Or, boy, I heard that some family member turned on you. I heard about that divorce. Or I heard about this. And I heard about that. You can either say, oh, thank you, and just wallow in all that. Or you can say, yes, thank you for your concern. But you can give a great testimony that my God is greater. And we're going to see this thing take off. We're going to put this thing in four low. And we're going to get our way through this mud ball. We're going to get on to the other side. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Would you bow your heads together with me? Father, thank you for this time to be in your house. Lord, I pray that you would do a great, great work in our midst. Lord, I believe one of the greatest needs that our Christians have today is for us to trust you through the midnight hour. One of the greatest needs in our Christian lives, friends, is to believe God in the darkness. You may say, well, I know you preach a lot about this. Maybe I preach a lot about it, I guess. I don't really know, but maybe I preach a lot about it because there's so many folks that are having struggles with it. Our Father, you can trust Him. Our God, you can count on Him. Our Heavenly Father, you can depend on Him. Our Rock, you can go to Him. Our Shelter, you can get under Him. Our High Tower, you can trust that He's looking out for you. You can might get beat up, but you don't have to get beat down. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Here's my invitation, folks. If you're here and you're saved, would you take courage this morning? You may be going through the deepest, darkest midnight you've ever faced. Paul and Silas faced it by singing praises and praying at midnight. Would you do the same? Maybe you're here and you're not saved. And life has been throwing horrendous obstacles and lobbing different stones at you. Can I tell you this, my friend? What you need is Jesus Christ. You're trying to go through this world and you've got your sin and your problems. You need to come to Jesus Christ. Get your sins forgiven so that you can look up to a Heavenly Father and say, you're mine. If you're here today and your life is a mess, you're here today and everything's in ruin, you're here today, maybe people think it's great on the outside, but you know the truth from the inside, and you're a wreck. Jesus wants to save you today. I trust you'd be saved. For if you're here today, and if you were to die tonight, you don't know for sure you'd go to heaven. Oh, what a weight you're carrying. What a burden you're carrying. In just a moment we stand, I'm going to ask you if you'd come and let somebody take a Bible and show you how you could be saved by the wonderful grace of Jesus Christ. And maybe you have another need. You're saved, but you've never been baptized. You'd like to come present yourself. We're going to baptize today. We're going to baptize next week, Lord willing. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Whatever your spiritual need is, I hope that you'll come and present it to the Lord. Father, bless us now is our prayer in Jesus' name. Would you stand together as the ladies play? Have thine own way, Lord. Would you let the Lord have His own way in you? You may be sitting back there thinking, Brother John, everything's going great with me. Oh, I hope it is. But could you tuck this little sermon away? Would you store it away for the future? It's going to get midnight one of these days for you. And at that midnight hour, you're going to determine how strong that walk is. Are they going to say Acts 16:25 for you? At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Or are they going to say that it was a dark, dark valley, it just didn't seem to come out the other side? As they continue to play, would you come today? Maybe you have some need you'd like to come and pray about. How about this, my friend? Are you sure you're saved? Are you sure that you're on your way to heaven? No wonder you feel like you're under a cloud. You're under more than a cloud. You're under the weight of your sins. And the Bible says there's no way to get those sins forgiven except receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Friend, there's no wonder your life has been a mess. No wonder you feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders. If you're not saved, all of that pressure, all of that sin of your life is on you. Jesus wants to free you from all that. He wants to forgive you, save your soul, and take you to heaven. I'm just going to ask you to be seated just for a moment. We're going to baptize here in just a little bit, but here's my, I want you to do a little exercise for me, for me, unless I'm the one that God brings your heart. In just a moment, I want to ask the ladies to play something through again. But all of us know people who are going through a dark time right now. I want us to take this time, this will be our little prayer meeting, while we're waiting on Daniel to get ready for baptism. I want you to pray for somebody that's going through a dark time, that you would pray that they would have that Acts 16:25 ability. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And ladies, I'm going to ask you to just begin to play. You make this little long time of prayer. Pray for yourself, yes. Pray for some others who are going through a dark time right now. Lord, help them. Lord, strengthen them. Give them your help. Give them the ability to sing praises and pray at midnight. Lord, do give them that strength, I pray. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. May look this way.
The Bible says in Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And today we rejoice with Shane. He's accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and came forward last week, and Brother Kyle spoke with him, and he put his faith in Jesus Christ, and we talked to him, and he wanted to follow the Lord just as it says in the Word of God by being baptized to give public profession of his faith. So he's been coming for quite some time, so we're so excited, Shane, as you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you want to publicly acknowledge that Jesus Christ is your Savior. So I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried with him in death, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. Thanks. Excited for you, man.
Praise the Lord, and pray, always thankful to God for doing a work in the hearts of people. Let's never get tired of when God does something in the life of someone. And let's never grow weary in our own life or in the lives of other people when God does something to us and does something in our midst. And it's a joy this morning. I got to meet Billy Bonner, his son, comes to our church faithfully. We're so thankful for him. And his father came today, and I got to meet him before. Got to fellowship with him. He's a wonderful fella. And but sitting right down here by Brother Marty, and he prayed and accepted Christ as his personal Savior today. Amen. Amen. It's all right. We say amen. I don't care. You can clap or do somersaults. I'm for all of them. So praise the Lord. What a wonderful day. What a joy. And his young son right over there, bringing his dad to hear about Christ. Folks, the Lord is very, very, very good to us. And we're so thankful, thankful, thankful for that. And Billy, brother in Christ right now, who's put his faith in Jesus, what a wonderful joy. It's wonderful to be in church today. And some of you men, I want you to make sure you make it around, see Billy, and welcome him into the family of God. Because you, like me, know that that's the greatest day in my entire life. When I got saved. I've had a lot of highlights. A wonderful family, a beautiful wife, and wonderful children. I pastor a great church, and all those things happen on specific mountaintop days. But none of them compare to when I got born again, when I asked Christ to be my Savior. And so some of you men from the church, why don't you come around, thank him for that, or not thank him, but just encourage him and welcome him and be a blessing to him. And again, thank you for being in church today. And it's a joy of joys to be here. It's a joy of joys to be the pastor. And thank you all. And as we start the Christmas season, I got my red, you can't see it from there, maybe a snowflake tie. So I saw some other folks have some as well. But God bless you. Thanks for being in church. You're dismissed.